Hey, shitheads, exciting announcement alert. We've got merch.
There are a few ways that you can get your hands on this merch. One, keep checking our Instagram story for periodic giveaways.
And two, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/upshitscreek, sign up at the podcast producer level, and you'll get your pick of either a t-shirt, a tote bag, or a mug.
And remember, shitheads, this is all while supplies last, and this stuff is not for purchase. It is going to be given away to all of our fabulous listeners. That's you.
And now, on with the show.
We just like popped in for a bite to eat because Artie's blood sugar is low.
Well, I guess there's enough sugar in mimosas, huh? Well,
don't worry, I'm over 21, Dad.
Oh my God, I'm laughing my head off.
Well, I'm just gonna grab some lunch. Nice running into you again, Arthur.
Please, Dad, just call me Artie.
Well, please don't call me Dad.
Greetings, it's the Duke here.
And I'm Lady J, and this is Up Schitt's Creek, the podcast.
Dedicated to all things Schitt's Creek.
How are you, the Duke?
I'm well. How are you, Lady J?
I'm superb.
Oh, that's a new one.
Is yeah. It?
I don't know if you've ever said that before.
I actually don't think I've ever used that word to describe myself ever.
Well, that's good because I always say I'm well.
Me
or
too.
I'm good.
Or I'm good, yeah.
Yeah, so that was new. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Oh. You know what? Thank me for that.
If you don't say so yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So here we are.
Here we are.
I don't want to say it. I'm not going to say it.
You know what? Don't.
Here we are.
Here we are. We're going to open this episode as we do with most of our episodes these days.
Yes.
With a bit of Schitt's news.
Let's do it. Beep, 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 beep.
The biggest bit of Schitt's news this week is the farewell tour.
Oh my gosh. They're coming back.
They're coming back around for one last hurrah.
This is going to be interesting because at this time, the show will be over.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be making their rounds once again.
Yeah.
For all the desperados in the world.
For real, though.
Yeah.
And a shockingly small amount of West Coast dates.
Yeah, I saw that.
Basically just L.A. and Phoenix, and then they're hitting all over the East Coast.
Yeah.
A little bit in the Midwest as well, I think.
Staying close to home, probably.
Yeah, but, I mean, home is L.A. for most of them these days.
Interesting. Hmm.
I think.
Well.
At least for Dan and Annie and Emily.
Yeah.
And,
I don't know. That's interesting. I don't know why they chose that. But
you know, it must have been a logistics thing, right?
Probably.
Like, they probably figured, where haven't we hit yet in terms of the cities where they did all the up-close and personals? And, I mean, you can't not hit L.A., you know?
Yeah.
But no, it's very exciting.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what they have for us. It's being described as like a fun, interactive event. For fans.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you've heard more about it than I have.
Well, the use of the word interactive has definitely piqued my interest. Because if they mean in the way that the Up Close and Personal was interactive via the Family Feud game they did at the end, then fine. But to me, interactive means like there's going to be a fair bit of audience involvement and participation, which is exciting.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
We're going.
We're definitely going.
We're
going to one of the last dates on the tour.
Mm-hmm.
So by then it'll be a well-honed event.
Oh, man. That's Schitt's news. That's good news.
Yes. We have a very special guest in the studio with us today.
We do. I think I've talked about him a couple times.
Yeah, I would say so.
But another fan of this show, my son, who's 11 and who often watches with me. I let him stay up a little later than he should every Tuesday for it. He just wanted to come by, stop by and say hi.
Link's so, here.
Yay.
Hi, Link.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah. Do you love Schitt's Creek?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite character on Schitt's Creek?
Probably either David or Maura.
Yeah, those are good choices.
Oh, very good.
I don't know if I can pick between those two.
I don't know. I used to think that it was David, and then more and more it's been Moira. She's just been coming really, really hard with that comedy, huh? You know, I've talked about you on this podcast, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Our listeners know all about you.
The DMV episode with Alexis and David. I don't skate through life, David. I walk through life. Finish it.
In really nice shoes.
Yes.
Best. So
you're a big fan. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, buddy. Love you.
Love you.
Give me a kiss.
Mwah. Bye, Link. Bye. Thanks for stopping by. So let's get into this episode, shall we?
Let's.
This is episode 609, titled Rebound, and the Pop TV synopsis is Johnny becomes overly involved in Alexis's romantic life, while Moira offends the townspeople in an interview with People magazine.
But before we get into this particular episode, let's get into our first segment, Oh Word. Come on, baby, tell me what's the word, a word of... The segment where we give you our word.
Why don't you start us off?
Well, my word is pretty simple. I feel like it's pretty well explained. I mean, if you've seen the episode, you know where I'm coming from on this one. The word is desperation.
Ah.
I feel like it was, there was a lot of desperation throughout this episode with Alexis, with Moira, and the townspeople.
Sure.
And with Jocelyn.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So that's my word.
I would argue there's not enough desperation from Jocelyn.
Really? Well, not towards the end, but I think at the beginning.
Okay. Yeah. That's
of this
fair.
Particular storyline with her.
That's fair.
There was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I you know, it's the like first it. Thing I thought of when I was done with this episode watching it. So
yeah, that works.
Desperation.
Similarly, the first thing that popped into my head after watching this episode was regression.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, so I want to be clear about what I mean by regression as it's defined in the dictionary, a return to a former or less developed state. And I think that if we really break down each storyline, there is that from Alexis, from Moira, from David, even maybe a little bit of Johnny, but not but like less so, you know?
Hmm.
I think that each of our characters here are exhibiting a bit of a backslide.
Okay.
You know, into maybe like their former selves, you know, a little bit of the hint of who they were when they first moved here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So very much
that
so,
was
yeah.
just sort of like the thing that was just like pulsating in my brain as I finished Good watching word. The episode. Thank you.
Some of the other words that we got from our listeners, ambivalent. Or no, I'm sorry, ambivalence.
Okay.
Repugnant.
Interesting.
That's very interesting. It came with no explanation.
Huh, okay.
So,
all right.
Repugnant. And recognize.
Okay.
Good words.
Good words. Good
The repugnant
everyone.
One, I'm really like trying to
Yeah, if the
wrap
listener,
my brain around.
If the listener who submitted repugnant can follow that up yeah. with any sort of explanation that we can then, you know, talk about in the next episode, very interested in that.
So as always, send us your word for each episode.
Yeah.
And we'd love to read them.
All righty, let's dive in
mm-hmm.
to this episode. Alexis yeah. is very much the titular
yeah.
on the rebound in this episode.
She is back in it.
I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting there to be a storyline devoted to her rebounding after Ted.
Me either. And I was very confused, I think, as to why they had her jump into something so quickly and why make it this type of a storyline where, I don't know, I guess they're, I don't know what they're trying to do. Is it that they're trying to get this whole Alexa situation like out there, done, over with, so they can move on to other things?
Well, but see, doing this storyline indicated to me that that's not going to happen. Huh. In my mind, I thought that the previous episode, sort of wrapping up the Ted and Alexis relationship and story, I thought that would have been the wrapping up of Alexis,
yeah.
you know? Not to say that she wouldn't have any more storylines in the rest of the season, but, you know, in terms of her romantic life, I thought, okay, we're done with that now. The rest of the season will focus on her career aspirations, all that stuff. This episode indicates to me that, oh, there will be more involvement in her love life going down.
You think so?
Well, it seems like that's the case because she's clearly – suffering and hurting, you know, after the breakup. And here she is seemingly just throwing herself into whatever situation that she can to, like, find some comfort, maybe a little bit of consolation, you know?
Yeah. I hope you're right. I hope that they do give it a little bit more,
give her a little bit more. I feel like now they have to, right?
Yes, because I was a little disappointed. Ugh, I hate saying that.
I know what you mean.
But I was a little disappointed. I thought that moment that Johnny and her had, you know, when they were back in her room, I didn't think it was taken very serious.
It was definitely undercut by Johnny's, at the end, like, not wanting to have her crying on his shoulder.
Yeah, go ahead and cry. He looked very uncomfortable, and then he asked when David was going to be back.
Yeah, that made it, that definitely cheapened it.
Yeah. That, and that for me was, it left me kind of like scratching my head like that.
Mm-hmm.
That I, with that grand speech that he gave about how he was never there for her in the past and how he wanted to, he wants to be there for her now, I expected his reaction, his emotional reaction
to be open
her
arms.
Emotional reaction, yeah, to be just more comforting, to give more, I think, just in this moment. And I was, it kind of fell short for me.
Yeah, I agree. And again, I think, I do think it was a choice.
Okay.
If we're thinking thematically with this episode, right? Mm-hmm. And with that, with all of this, like, backsliding that's happening with all of them.
Yeah.
I think this is an indication from Johnny. He's struggling to be the dad that he says he always wanted to be and he's trying to be now. And, you know, he's not going to be amazing at it right out the gate immediately.
Yeah.
And he is still uncomfortable with certain aspects of his fatherhood with his children, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's fair for Johnny to react that way, but I do think that it did sort of undercut the moment, because that moment was so powerful.
Yeah.
And I mean, to mimic a sentiment that we've heard a lot from our listeners these last couple of days, give Annie Murphy all the damn awards.
Oh my God. It was like somebody just turned on a switch and everybody wants her to get an award. And listen, she deserves it,
no,
certainly.
But I mean, that performance from her, I mean, how many times have you gone through your day in your life where you're just like, you're fine, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden you're breaking down in tears?
Many.
And that sort of 0-60 real quick moment that she was able to capture in that 10-second scene was just like, oof.
The look on her face when she was talking to Johnny, when they were sitting on the bed. Man.
And, you know, she says the whole time, she's like, yeah, it's all in, I had it under control. I knew what this was. It was light. It was fun. I was just looking for something to distract me. And then the dominoes start falling. And she's like, what am I going to do now?
She just seems like a broken individual right now. And she's acting out of desperation.
Yeah.
To feel something. Not sad anymore, but something.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens. I feel like when we have the breakup, when something happens, when we're just like broken inside, that we do things that we feel like are going to fill that void. And even if it's temporary, whatever, we just need it. And okay, so when this ends, now what?
Right.
I need something else.
Right.
But I think, you know, in that moment, having her dad there, she just was like, what? She said it. She's like, well, what do I do now?
Right. I feel like she's going to be okay. I don't think that her okayness will ultimately lie in finding happiness in a romantic relationship.
Look, if there's one thing we've been learning about Alexis and that we know now and that we're confident in saying now is that, like you said, she will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
She's come this far in her life.
Yeah.
Where she has built a business. And she's also helped to rebuild herself. So, I mean, she's got a long way to go because she's still learning. And when do we ever stop?
I was going to say, don't we all?
Right.
Right.
We never stop. But she's proven to herself, she's proven to everybody else that, dude, she can do it. Whatever she wants to do, she can do it. She's been. So, you're right. She's not going to find any of that in a man.
No.
She's going to find it in herself. She's going to find it with her family, too.
Absolutely.
Because they matter. They're her backbone, you know? Mm-hmm. They're her comfort, her strength.
You know, you saying that, though, sort of just switched the light bulb on for me when it comes to this storyline. I feel like this moment, all this business with Artie and all this stuff, is her learning that one final lesson that she needs to learn, that it's not going to come from anything other than herself and her family.
Yeah.
Like that unit.
Yeah.
Because she's already learned the lesson that she can't stay in this, in the relationship she was in, because it's not really working for either of them and it's the right decision. She's crossed that hurdle. The next hurdle is learning that lesson, finding that definitive proof that it's not about anyone else.
Right.
And in that way, if that's what this business with Artie is going to do for her in the long run, then cool, by all means.
Let's talk about Artie.
Let's.
Man, I was very surprised that this was the type of man, the maturity of a man that they chose for Alexis in this. Or I guess that she chose for herself.
Alexis chose, yeah.
Man,
major
oh man.
Major left field.
When David opens that door.
Not at all what I was expecting.
The conversation, the man himself, everything was just like, I didn't even know what to say. I just kept staring at the screen like, is this happening?
You know,
Uber driver? Like, who is this?
The craziest thing that happens, too, is David expresses to Moira and Johnny concern about Alexis's whole rebounding situation while she's out on her date, right? She comes into the door. They immediately change the subject. She goes to get ready for bed and Artie knocks on the door. And when David answers it, he's very like, oh, I have the wrong room, because I don't know what he was expecting, but he wasn't expecting a man to open the door. And so wrong room. And then that's when he says that he's looking for Lexi. And the way that David, Johnny, and Moira all just introduce themselves to him very – not casually, but like without a second thought,
right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
They're just very quick and there's no sense of like hesitation at all. They're just like, oh yeah, I'm Johnny, Alexis's dad. I'm Moira, her mom. It's just very welcome to us, you know? And it's very cool actually, because it indicates that David's concern that he shared with them not but moments ago, they heard it.
Yeah.
They're bearing the burden of worrying about her the way that David used to only bear it himself all through growing up, I don't know. It's a cool moment.
It is. It is. I find, obviously the comedy comes with David when he opens the door and he's like, I'm David. You can call me Davey.
Davey. I know. I really want to call him Davey now.
Oh, God. I can't. I can't call him Davey.
Just like I can't call her Lexi.
No. Sexy Lexi.
Ugh.
Like Sexy Rexy from Empire Records. Have you ever
seen
that movie?
No.
Never mind. Yeah. Anyways. But just strange.
He's a character, for sure.
From the moment I saw him, I was like...
I feel like you're about to break into song.
From the moment I saw him. Yeah, it was pretty funny. He's cool with it. Hey, what's up?
Yeah, he says... He changes his demeanor, too, almost right away. He's like, nice to meet you guys. What's up?
Yeah, but then fast forward to the next day when she is very smitten...
Yeah, all of this texting. And
yeah.
But you know what, though? It's an act, right? It's her in that mindset of distraction.
I think it's her trying too hard.
Mm-hmm.
She's laughing too much.
Right.
Too hard at the texts and everything because it's like she's trying to tell herself, I'm good. I'm happy. He makes me happy. Mm-hmm. He makes me laugh. I'm okay.
Right. Absolutely.
And then there comes Johnny, just very concerned by this whole thing, hoping that she's texting David because please don't tell me you're texting Arthur. And, Johnny has a couple questions.
Okay, trust me. It's just totally fun and casual.
Okay, well, casual. Casual is good. Casual is exceptionally good.
Say casual more, Johnny.
Artie's an old soul, and you know how I'm an old soul, so we're just like...
Since when is Alexis an old soul?
Souls having fun together.
Well, he is an old soul. I'll give you that. If you were guessing, Alexis, how old a soul would you say Arthur is?
Artie doesn't care about things like age. Although it is his birthday next weekend, and we are planning a weekend trip to wine country.
A weekend in wine country?
Yep, his ex-wife owns a vineyard, and his kids and grandkids are going to be there.
Oh, it's sounding less and less casual by the minute.
Okay, chill, Dad. Oh, my God. Is he calling me right now? That is so 2001.
Oh, that's the best.
And she answers the phone, babe.
And then she's like, you have to, what did she say? You have to double tap on it.
Like, oh,
she's
right.
Like, basically telling him how to use his phone.
Teaching him how to use Instagram, probably.
Oh, man.
Not fun.
Come on.
Not fun.
How old do you think Artie is?
Oh, that's right, because we actually never get a number.
No.
Do you think he's Johnny's age?
I think he's older.
Older than Johnny? He doesn't look it.
No, he doesn't. But something just tells me that he is. Because even Johnny is like, grandkids. Oh, yeah.
But
well,
I mean,
he could, too. He could have grandkids,
that's
too.
That's what I was going to say, because David and Alexis are at the age of having kids.
Well, maybe he's not, but I don't know. I'm going to pretend in my mind that he is.
Okay.
You know?
Sure.
It just makes it that much funnier.
There's a version of this storyline where it's a misdirect and Alexis isn't dating him at all. And instead, it's something to do with her business, maybe. But we're led to think that she's dating him.
Where is this from?
This is from me. Like, this is, like, in my head, okay?
Okay.
Because as this whole thing was going down, up to and including the scene with Johnny in the diner, okay?
Huh.
I kept thinking, I bet this is all just them thinking she's dating him, but, like, really...
Interesting.
This is, like, something, like, you know, maybe, like, he's hired her to do, like, PR for him or something, I don't know. And she's just being very friendly and very, like, spending a lot of time with him because that's what she does. And everyone around her is thinking that they're dating. And that's why when Johnny says, you know, you're dating my daughter or whatever, he's looking at him like, what the fuck are you talking about, you know?
Yeah.
I was kind of waiting for that shoe to drop.
That's
until
funny.
The very end when
really?
I realized, obviously not.
Well, now I just can't get that out of my mind. And now I feel
watch
like, what
it
if?
Again
what
with
if?
That lens,
yeah.
I'm telling you.
It's kind of like a Sixth Sense kind of a thing where, like, you thought you knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And then it gets to the point where you're like, what?
Exactly. I mean, of course, the babe thing threw me off.
Yeah.
But I just figured, you know, maybe she's just playing it up. Like,
Alexis is the kind of person.
Him like, oh, babe, what's up? You know,
she
just
would
like,
call people babe.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I totally, for a second, thought that was where we were going with this
whole thing. I kind of like that.
But the,
it
I mean,
would
the,
be funny.
The payoff was better, though, because knowing that this is what it is, that she's rebounding with this guy, that she's just looking for a distraction and something to you know, console her from all this pain that she's in, and then her breaking down the way that she did to her father, like, that makes it all worth it for me to have that moment of catharsis.
You know, thinking about this entire, like, storyline now, and thinking about the conversation that Johnny not only had with Alexis, but he also had with Artie.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that there was not ever a mention or, like, a question about them being intimate with one another. Do you know what I mean? That, I feel like, would have been my first thing if I see my daughter with this older dude, like,
But don't you think that's what Johnny was talking about? So when he talks about his grandkids... And he goes, oh, yeah, give me some pointers for when I have them. I think that's Johnny saying, that's me assuming that y'all are not.
Oh, gotcha.
Right? I think.
See, I took that as, like, Johnny just trying to be like, haha, I don't have them yet, and you do.
Oh, maybe,
like,
that is
like, you're older, I'm younger kind of a thing.
You know what I mean? Maybe that is it.
And that's how I took that. But...
I see, and in my head, I'm like, oh, he's basically trying to tell Artie, I know you're not sleeping with my daughter.
That, I'm telling you, if that would have come up, oh my God.
That would have been the best, most awkwardly uncomfortable thing that ever happened.
God, yeah. Artie is just, I don't know, very of this world. You know, he's like done things. He's been places, like she says, he has a lot of really interesting stories.
He's fully bragging about his above ground swimming pool. What?
I have a beautiful 3-bedroom home with the way he yeah. makes his above ground swimming pool.
As if that's the selling point.
Oh, then in that case, please date my daughter.
By all means.
Does Schitt's Creek have a swimming pool? No. Right?
Town?
No. Sorry. Does Rosebud Motel? I'm sure it doesn't.
I don't think. If it did, I'm sure we would have addressed it by now.
Ugh, yeah.
No. Plus, where would it be? Like, maybe behind it?
Maybe. I guess everybody could just go to the creek if they want to swim.
Yeah. Ugh. The one time we've gone in 6 years.
Yeah, really. What can we say about Artie?
I feel like we've said it.
I think so.
I think that's enough time spent on this man.
Low blood sugar, grandkids. He likes to scat. That was the best. Do you know what scat is? Scatting is? Yeah, I know what scatting is. Not a fan.
He wants to go to the jazz festival so he can scat along.
What? Laughing my head off.
That's the best. Oh my God, I'm laughing my head off.
Yeah. What? LMHO.
She's done that before, right? Or someone else. Someone has done that before. Was it Moira?
Oh God.
It was Moira.
Oh, when she was trying to do.
Oh, I'm laughing right now. And she's not.
Yeah. Okay. When he walks over to Twyla to get his coffee.
Oh, I love that little bit between them.
I know, me too.
It's very cute.
He's trying to get some information to see if, you know, she's talked to Alexis.
Yeah.
What's going on here? And she hasn't. No. Alexis has not had a conversation.
Twy even says, she's like, she really hasn't said anything about him.
But Twyla does recognize him because he was holding her in a picture when she was little. So he may have dated her aunt.
And she remembers that Christmas because it's the Christmas where she got
a lighter. Why? Why is this Twyla's life all the time?
I will say, if we don't get some sort of silver lining for Twyla,
right,
by the end of this series, I'm going to be pretty darn upset about
it. I need something. Even if it's just a little something. Just
something to show that she's going to be all right.
Maybe a guest at the wedding. Something.
Something.
Come on.
Yeah. I need to know that either she's going to get out of this town or that she's going to find happiness and love in this town. And that's not just going to be sad memories with her deadbeat mom and all her deadbeat boyfriends.
I don't think she's going to get out of this town because Twyla genuinely loves.
That's true.
The people in this town, the town itself, she loves working in this cafe. We don't see Twyla complain ever.
True.
She's just always smiles, always very apologetic, you know, always the people person. She just wants to be loved and she wants to love. That's it.
Yeah.
I love her for that.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I want more for her.
Yeah. I need to know she's going to be okay.
Please. And then Alexis goes to the bathroom, and that's when Johnny has a talk with Artie. Arthur gets an earful.
Yep.
And all Johnny is trying to do is make sure that Arthur knows she is broken. She has been through some shit.
It's an overstep. He makes her sound like a crazy desperate lady.
Yeah.
And that's why he breaks up with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which sucks because then he gets the upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's ultimately Alexis's whole problem with this. Well, not problem, but her whole thing about, like, I just got dumped by a old-ass man who's a loser.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to have this happen on her terms for as long as she wanted.
She wanted to be in control of the situation because she wasn't in control of the situation with Ted. It happened. It had to happen.
Sure.
I don't think she was going to be with him for forever or even that long, really.
She knew that. She says as much. She's like, I know he wasn't for me. This wasn't real.
Yeah.
But I certainly didn't want to be dumped by him. Come on, Johnny.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Come on, Johnny. I mean, I get it. I get that he's looking out for her because he doesn't see where her mind's at. And he says as much, too. He's like, well, I didn't know where your mind was at. And that's fair.
Yeah.
But also, can we trust that your 30-year-old daughter at this point knows what she wants and that she can figure it out?
I think the only real person that was on her side in this was Moira. Moira was like, go get it, girl. Like, go do your thing. Meanwhile, like, David is so concerned for her. And Johnny is just being, he's just being way overly protective.
A little bit too much. Yeah. He had no business talking to Artie.
No.
He could have talked to her, shared his concerns with her even more than he already did, you know, flat out told her, this is bad for you.
Yeah.
Get the confirmation from her that she knows this is bad for her and, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, lessons. They're all learning lessons. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Is this like growth evolution thing that we're always talking about with them, it's really never ending. I don't think the series ends with them all grown up and evolved.
Guess what? We've learned it now. We did it.
Yeah. Exactly.
We know what life is.
Exactly.
No.
It's a struggle. And mind you, that thing of learning is a human thing for everybody. Yeah. This is just a microcosm example of life for everybody, you know? Yeah.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
David and Patrick are having brunch at the cafe. Patrick is crunching the numbers on his little folio. I don't know about you, but for like a split second, I fully thought he was coloring with crayons.
Like a menu?
Yeah, or like, I don't know. Because the way, like the introductory shot of the two of them was like him hold like color, like writing, obviously, but like it fully, I was like, oh my god, is he playing with crayons at the cafe?
Oh my
and then
god.
You see the folio and you see he's taking notes.
No, didn't think it was coloring with crayons. No, no,
I had lots of weird takes on this episode, apparently.
No, but he is crunching numbers about the florist.
Yeah, he's flowers. Asking David about how much the florist or the floral arrangements are going to cost.
Yeah, and David doesn't know. Nothing. He doesn't know because it's hard to put a number when you don't know exactly how much you're going to need.
Well, but I just took it like he has not tackled flowers yet at all. Like he's done no
I think
work
I took it as
that.
Him just giving an excuse.
Yeah, you're right.
Instead of wanting to be like, no, I haven't done anything.
Right.
Yeah.
But as he's talking to Patrick, every few seconds he glances over to the
breakfast
bar, yeah. And then we see that Jocelyn is sitting there.
She's like, their eyebrow raised, like, hey, hi.
She's wearing the same shirt that I picked as a Who Wore What Best one time.
Yeah, with the feathers.
Yeah.
Yes. Very colorful.
She comes over. Turns out that she has talked to Patrick about potentially working at the store.
Yeah.
As a salesperson. David is absolutely adamant against it. No, like, really, Jocelyn's going to work at our store? Not going to happen. And Patrick is a little bit more generous, you know? I think we can give it a try. Jocelyn lays on the guilt trip real thick.
Yeah, I just find it quite interesting because they don't need a third sales associate.
Don't they? It's noon and they're both at the cafe. Who's at the store?
Closed for lunch.
But why are they closing?
I don't know.
People could go to the store on their lunch breaks.
Yeah, so what, she's going to work for an hour a day?
No, but I'm saying, like, it bears to reason that with the two of them getting married and starting a life together, like, it wouldn't hurt to have an extra set of hands at the store.
I suppose.
You know.
I suppose.
I'm not saying it should be Jocelyn. I'm just saying, why are they so opposed to the idea of
hiring? Well, I was just about to say,
someone.
I just can't imagine her working there. It's very hard for me to imagine anybody other than David or Patrick working
at
Rose Apothecary.
I get that.
You know?
But I feel like they could make a whole episode of them doing interviews for
absolutely.
Hiring people.
Absolutely. And the only thing you would hear with every single person is they're not really like their aesthetic.
Right. Yeah, they're not on brand.
Right.
Yeah.
David wouldn't choose one person.
No. And he doesn't want Jocelyn, despite the fact that she apparently is a kick-ass salesperson.
Oh, my God. I love when she's in the store. And I love the customer service approach that David is trying to teach her.
Now, I like to approach the customer as if we don't need their business. Okay? Let them wander the store, experience the products. We're here to help if they have a question.
Okay. Excuse me. Do you have this in a smaller size?
We don't, unfortunately.
That's it.
I like to approach it as if we don't need their business. What?
Oh, David.
Does Patrick know that this is his approach?
I think he probably does by now.
Oh, I would have a talk with David about Patrick.
Mind you, Jocelyn's amazing. You know, this person comes into the store asking about the body milk,
yeah.
and she gives firsthand testimony. She upsells this person, says, you're going to want the large size, trust me. It's great for this, it's great for that. I mean, what more do you want?
Patrick is smiling about it.
Patrick's impressed. I mean, listen, I'm impressed. Mm-hmm. She's done more business in one day than they've done all week.
Yeah.
It does beg the question, what about her being in the store has brought more customers in?
I don't know. Like, did she tell her friends that she was going to be working?
That's what David supposes,
yeah.
right? He's like, this all seems very fishy to me.
Which, Patrick is right, regardless.
Yeah, who cares?
We're selling.
Sales are sales.
Yeah.
Although that would just be the one day of sales versus the rest sure. of the time. But, I mean, still, right? The logic stands. Like, she can clearly sell what they have in the yeah. store. So it's a matter of getting people into the store. And then Jocelyn's got them on the hook.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, when she closes it with, have a rosy day. That's the best.
Amazing. And with her pink cat sweater.
She's worn this sweater like thrice now.
It's her favorite sweater.
Yeah, it is.
I did question, though, when she says, I want to get into something more casual.
You know what I imagined was going to happen? And I was really hoping it would too. I imagined her trying to like dress like David.
Oh, now that
would have been. And having her walk in looking like David.
That would have been amazing.
Oh. I would have paid
good money to see that.
It would have. I was really hoping that they were going to do that.
But see, that would mean that she was more serious about this job. And yeah. I will say, like Patrick, I'm kind of pissed at her for making them go through all this.
I pissed at her because she knew this was a trial
That's
run.
What I'm saying.
And then she asks for a check when she walks out.
That too. But it's like, if you knew before you did this that you weren't going to stay here. I mean,
right.
you don't do this job and then go, oh, not for me. You knew what the job was.
I mean, then she gives the excuse that she's going to wait for like a tutoring.
Right. Which means
gig.
You're not that desperate for money, which means you really just don't want to work here. So why did you put me through all this in the
right.
first place?
You knew from the get-go that a tutoring gig could happen, come along at any time, but just now you're realizing that you want to wait for it?
The whole thing stinks. The whole thing is kind of weird.
Yeah, it stinks like that damn cat sweater. That's what it stinks like.
I thought you were going to say like the stinking bishop cheese.
No, I wasn't. I do like the bell, though.
The bell is a cool touch.
The bell's cute.
I think that would be a cute touch for them.
The best thing for me was when she rings it, like, we're closed for business. Like, this is not the stock market. Or this, what does he say? Oh, this
isn't
Wall Street. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know.
The fucking bell.
Jocelyn.
But, I mean, that's really it in the storyline.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I don't really know what her end game was here. She begged to do this. She came not dressed for the job. She ended up doing really well, but then not wanting the job.
Yeah. A few things we learned here. One, she's desperate for a job, part-time, whatever, because she's trying to make some money.
Sure.
Because they've invested in the motel.
But not desperate enough to take a full-time paying
right.
job. So, okay.
Sure.
We learned that.
And then we learned that Patrick has a little bit of like an impatient streak in him. Like, listen.
Ooh, yeah.
What gave you a chance? Was really trying to like talk you up here.
Yeah.
And then this?
Yeah.
Cool.
He looks like he's about ready.
Yeah.
He's about ready to do something there.
And it doesn't help when David's face is like right in his. Like, do you hear that? Do you hear all the words she's saying right now?
Uh-huh.
This isn't for her.
But I will say, it's a rare moment where David gets to say, I told you so to Patrick.
Yeah.
You know, those are few and far between. So I feel like David is just really relishing in it.
You know what's hilarious to me is in this very last episode, Patrick was very tan and creamy looking. And now he's very pale again.
Oh, yeah. Well, the tan has been
and
washed.
Creamy looking. Do you notice that?
Creamier than normal?
I think so.
I didn't really pay too much attention.
Why does Noah Reed have such buttery soft skin? He really does.
I believe it.
I mean, I've never like touched his face or anything.
I bet his skin is very soft.
It looks like it is.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Although I do like him with a bit of stubble.
Yeah.
It suits him.
Yeah. I like him with longer hair too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
He looks good with longer hair.
Yeah. Like hair you can sort of like run your fingers
yes.
through.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Me too. But I'm a sucker for that on anybody, really.
That's true.
I like a little bit of length and texture of the hair. Mm-hmm.
So that's that.
Yeah. So now we can move on to Moira.
Ooh.
It all starts very innocuous enough. Stevie is doing the rounds, cleaning the room.
Moira. She's working? What?
I know.
Oh, my God.
She's back in the throes now.
Yeah.
Moira comes out of the room, presumably to go about her day, go to council and do all her meetings, etc.
Yes.
And shrieks, as she is wont to do. Oh, God, I love her shrieks.
Makes Stevie almost fall over as well.
I live for a Moira shriek.
Yeah, I know. You do love the shrieks.
There's something so beautiful about them. And we see that the car has been egged pretty intensely.
It's not just a couple.
No, that's how, like, Stevie describes it.
Stevie says a couple. There's a lot of eggs on that car.
At first, I thought it was bird poop, I'll be honest. and then I got a closer look. I was like, oh no, these are like, there's like shells happening. Yeah. It's a whole thing. And so she's freaking out. She's been a victim of vandalization, which, if you'll recall, at the beginning of this season, I talked about the New York Times article where they interviewed Catherine and how she had hats on and coats over her because her wigs and her clothing are all considered spoilers,
yes,
if you see them. And in that article, the writer said that when he first happened upon her, she was rolling over the word vandalization over and over in her tongue, trying to find Moira's cadence.
Wow.
And so to hear it, I was like, this was the moment. Like, this is the scene they were shooting that day.
Oh, I love that. I love knowing that she practices.
I mean, this
Moira's
is Moira's not an accident.
No.
Every bit of Moira from T to B is a calculated decision and choice from Catherine.
Yeah.
Which is what makes it genius. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, it just, she doesn't just come out of her willy-nilly. Like, no. She's gonna choose to say vandalization, like, the way she does.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Oh, I love that.
So she freaks out. She immediately is like, Stevie, you're my witness. You have to come with me to council. We need to report this, you know, terribleness. And Stevie's like, okay. Like, all right. You know, she can say no.
Yeah,
why
she can.
Why she goes along for these ridiculous
things? Because she
doesn't
want to work, probably. She's just like,
that's true.
She looks back, I think, at her like cart that she's pushing. She's like, okay.
But
and she
then
leaves.
She's quick to get out of there as soon as she can when she wants, you know.
I don't know.
Stevie.
I don't know. Sometimes
who knows why Stevie,
Stevie
does things?
Stevie doesn't even know why Stevie does things
that's
sometimes.
Fair. Yeah, that's true.
She's just a very fly by the seat of her pants? Kind of a gal?
Yeah.
I guess, you know?
Stevie, you are blessed with anonymity and thus will never have to know the crippling fear that accompanies global repute.
Yay. Can't imagine.
After my first centerfold with Soap Opera Digest, a deranged fan deposited locks of hair into my glove compartment. And now my return to prominence has painted another giant bullseye on my thorax.
I could give you this bucket of soap.
No! You never tamper with a crime scene. I'll have to go to council. Get in, please, Stevie. As of now, you are my star witness. And sit low. No point endangering both our lives.
Fine.
God damn it. She is so fucking brilliant.
Both our lives.
Thorax.
Thorax.
Come on.
God. She's amazing. So then they go. So she comes bursting into council, and they're all sort of like waiting for her too, because they're ready to go with this People magazine article.
Well, they are having a meeting, Roland and Ronnie, about this article, this People magazine article.
Indeed.
And they're not happy. Mm-mm. I mean, this is the first that we even know about this.
Yeah, we didn't know she did an interview with people.
And then, I mean, to even find out about it in this way, where clearly she has pissed them off, as far as we know right now, it's just them.
Well, and at least one other person, because we know that neither Roland or Ronnie egged her car. Mm-hmm. So somebody did.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true. I guess we don't really know who egged her car, but anyway.
Yeah. But they proceed to tell her, I wonder why.
Yeah.
Is it maybe because of this article where you said
that this is the last place you'd want to end up?
No, I said it was the last place I'd want to end up. God. Oh, my gosh.
She's so...
I really do think in her mind that made it fine.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not talking about anybody else.
Yeah.
Just me.
For me, I don't want to be here any longer than I've already been.
Right.
Ew.
Facts. You know?
Yeah. She is a little bit like oblivious to her own faux pas here, to say the least. And Roland and Ronnie are like, you need to freaking apologize to this town. You need to make this right.
Yeah. And Roland does tell her, like, you are going to be the only person that can save you.
That's right.
All on you.
Yeah.
We're not going to help you. We're not going to do anything for you because you put yourself in this situation, which they're right.
I mean,
they have helped her in the past many times. They have been there to kind of like guide her through things, you know, little foot in my mouth kind of things. Right. But not this time. I mean, she's insulted the town that she lives in.
Yeah.
The town where she is on council with these people.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
And in a major publication that people will read and see. And she thinks that it's okay because she never actually named the town.
Yeah.
Which, okay, fine for the rest of the world, but the people who live here know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And they're the people that you've offended. So what, you know, what do you mean? Like, come on.
So, yeah. So they let her know and she realizes now, okay, I'm going to have to fix this.
Yeah.
I have to do something here. We can't just keep our mouths shut. We can't just act like this didn't happen. We have to address it.
Which then when she goes to leave, there's a freaking picket line outside.
There is. I don't know really what this is. It is, if any of you have seen the behind the episode, they talk about this.
Uh-huh.
And Karen says it is the most peaceful protest that you've ever seen.
It's beautiful.
Because it is the signs.
That was
nice. It's like if my grandma made a sign and went to go pick it. You know what I mean? I wrote down all of the signs here.
Read them.
We are not angry. We are disappointed.
Best sign ever.
What? And then another one says, that wasn't very nice, with a sad face on it. Another one, so hurtful, take it back. We're really unhappy with you, Moira. If you can't say something nice, ... And the last one, respect our town. I mean, what?
Well, those signs coupled with...
Why'd you do it? Why'd you do it?
Oh, my God.
Why'd you do it?
And so we know who this is.
Yes.
This is the lady trying on the clothes at the blouse barn.
This is the woman who trained David to be a bag boy at the grocery store.
And this was the one who was going for cabaret.
Oh, right.
I can get naked. Like, basically, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I can do nude scenes.
Yeah.
That's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen her a few times.
Man.
Never seen her like this, dude.
No.
She is... yelling.
She and like the fists are balled and she's
holding the article.
Her foot. Oh.
She's quite possibly the only person there not holding a sign. She's holding the article itself in her hands.
Oh man, it's so good.
Why'd you do it?
It's truly so funny.
When I first saw this, you know, they're walking out and you see everybody and then I hear her scream. I'm like, oh my God.
Shit just got real.
That is like alarming.
Right?
Wow.
It is alarming.
Yes.
And then so Moira has to address them.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's often more potent than an apology is an explanation. You know, I may have said this town is the last place I wish to find myself, but the magazine neglected to include my entire quote. I specifically commended your ever-beating heart and your elephantine generosity. A slice of heaven is what I recall myself saying. Please know that I believe deep down there are worse places to be.
Like in your shoes right now.
She's not helping the situation.
She's doing what white male celebrities do when they quote unquote apologize, which is offer an explanation for their behavior instead of actually just owning up and apologizing.
That's great that you said that. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that's what's happening here. Even Roland, who is not exactly the moral compass here that we all need in this moment.
Yeah.
Even he's like, oh, not doing so good, Moira.
Hate to be in your shoes today.
Yeah. And Ronnie is just sitting there with her arms crossed.
Like, classic Ronnie.
What are you going to do now?
Classic Ronnie.
Yeah.
And then she doubles down. She's like, oh, after one of you guys details my car. And it's like, Moira, come on.
Because it had to have been one of them. Probably the how, why'd you do it?
I mean, most likely.
She's angry.
She's okay. Very angry.
She's the only one that's not peacefully protesting there. She's pissed. No. But yeah, she wants somebody to detail her car. But Ronnie has an idea.
That's right.
And what an idea.
Man. This is what we've been seeing in the trailers. Yeah,
right, right.
We've always been wondering, like, why is she speaking to camera about this town?
But so we get the video. We get the tourist video, the tourism video for Schitt's Creek.
Which, why did Schitt's Creek decide that they want to launch a big tourism campaign? Because it's, from what Roland says, they were already planning on doing this campaign before she did the People magazine article. And so, but your explanation makes sense, right? Moira's a big star.
Yeah.
This could put their town on the map. If there was ever a time for them to do a big campaign,
yeah,
it would be now. And then now that she can be in it, even more star power.
That was a great video.
Man.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, hello, you. I'm Filmin Television's Moira Rose. Won't you join me for a little stroll through the slice of paradise I like to call the town where I currently am?
Because she never says Schitt's Creek.
Did someone say fine dining? The Cafe Tropical has certainly been described as fine.
This fucking menu.
Oh, hello, Twyla. I'll have the miso flat cod, please.
We don't have that.
You mean you're sold out is more like it.
The smiles.
And when it's time to escape the hustle and bustle of the downtown core, you'll find all the peace and solitude your body craves here at our local apothecary. No noisy customers or busy cash registers here to intrude upon your inner cogitations.
It's not usually this quiet.
Oh, it's always nice and quiet here.
Can you stop saying that?
And finally, when it's time to lay down your weary head, you'll find comfort and safety at the partially renovated Rosebud Motel. Don't forget to say hello to your handsome proprietor, Mr. Jonathan Rose.
Thank you for having us.
John, no.
What? John, no.
So why wait? Book your vacation now to this humble little oasis. If heaven had a creek, it would be this one.
Oh, that is so good.
The end.
The end.
I love how their tourism video ends with the end.
Yes. That's good. That's clean.
There's so much about this that's like funny, right? Like not only just all of it, but it seems as though they basically just said, Moira, run with it. Like there was no script or anything because nobody knows what's happening. She's just improvising off the top of her dome.
I guarantee you she was like, I know what to say. And I'm gonna say
it. Does she though? I mean she does. She does. She's actually crushing this whole thing. But the thing is, the problem is that nobody around her knows how to react to what she's saying because they don't know what's going to come their way.
Everybody's very awkward in this.
If Twyla knew that black miso cod was coming her way, she would have just been like, right away. You know? Like,
my favorite is Stevie, the way she's just standing there like,
so funny.
Her hands like dangling on her side.
She's literally just like,
yeah,
just a blob. It reminds me of when they were taking those photos and she didn't know how to stand. And Johnny's like smiling with his eyes, you know?
Thank you for having us.
What?
It's good.
It is good.
It's all good. I think that does it.
That about does it. Any stray observations?
I don't think so. What about for you?
When Roland says that this is going to be worse nightmare for them than when they installed the wheelchair ramp backwards?
Ramp gate.
How do you install a ramp backwards?
I don't know. If it's Roland.
Was it shooting up into the sky?
Yes. Roland installed it. You know he did. Come on. You know, at first, when I first saw this, I didn't hear Rampgate. I heard Rampka.
Oh.
And I was like, what happened to Rampka besides them sleeping together?
Right.
You know?
Right.
I was like very confused. But then I had to watch it and again. I'm like, oh, Rampgate. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Here's something funny. So Patrick tells David that, you know, Jocelyn's been doing a great job and all you've been doing is standing here and giving her the cut eye. And I had to watch it with subtitles to understand what he was actually saying, because at first I thought gut and I was like, what? So cut eye. Then I had to look it up, even though you can pretty much understand what cut eye means.
Right? Yeah.
But I had to look it up to be sure that I got it. And then this is the description. This is the definition.
Uh-oh.
That I got on Google. I'm going to read it verbatim.
Okay.
Because it's very, like, it's just, you'll see. So, cut eye is looking at someone out of the corner of one's eye, then turning the eye away quickly down towards the foot opposite the eye of the person the gesture is being performed at.
Wow.
That's a lot of words
that
to describe.
That is a lot.
Something as simple as looking at someone from the corner of your eye and then looking away.
Oh my gosh.
At the foot opposite cut the eye. Person. Like, freaking, I'm drawing a diagram to give someone the cut eye. Like, it was the best description I've read for something in a
long
time.
All right, Google.
But, yeah, that's about it.
All right. Let's get into our second segment, Who Wore What Best?
Whoop, whoop. So for me, it's open and shut, no doubt about it. Definitely 100% Moira's platinum blonde wig with the blue and pink highlight hints.
Isn't that great?
It's amazing.
They're like pastel color.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
Mm-hmm. But like the whole outfit or just the wig?
Just the wig.
Just the wig. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Just the wig. I didn't even see what she was wearing because I was just infatuated with that wig.
Yeah, that wig is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree. Fine. Good for you.
Thanks.
I am actually going to give it to Artie.
Okay.
Because what the fuck? He looks like maybe he's an art teacher. He just looks very artsy fartsy in that outfit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Do you include his three medical bracelets in that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I include all the things. Again, they talked about this in behind the episode.
Okay.
Where they purposely dressed him this way because they wanted him to be one of those very artsy, the scarf. I guess they couldn't find one of those leather wrap bracelets,
yeah.
But that's why they have like all the bracelets on him. Annie even talked about the shirt. The button-up shirt where when you fold the sleeve, it has another pattern on the opposite side. So all of that. The vest. It's a vest, right?
I think so.
He's wearing a vest. Whatever he's wearing, it's working.
Okay.
I feel like I'm back in high school.
Sure.
And I'm ready to paint a nude person, you know? And he's the one telling me how to do it.
Okay.
So.
I like it. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Before we get into our ratings, do we have any comments from our listeners?
Mainly people just telling us that that Annie deserves an Emmy.
Yeah.
A lot of people telling us that.
Seconded and thirded and fourthed and fifth.
Hey, you don't have to convince us. I mean, yeah, she does.
Did you see Dan? So somebody tweeted of that freeze frame of him talking to Jocelyn about how it's like it's not a good time for you to come and work for us at the cafe.
Yes.
And somebody tweeted saying me talking to my coworkers every day or whatever. And Dan retweeted that saying if this face better win me an award because it's not winning me any dates.
Oh,
Dan, my heart.
Bless his heart.
He's so funny. All right, let's get into ratings. Ratings. Ratings.
I just did a little dance at that one right now.
Yeah, you did. Were you back in your rave days?
Yes. I heard the unts, unts, unts as you were doing that.
Why don't you start us off?
I am going to give this episode a 3.5 out of 5 medic alert bracelets. Listen, it was funny, but there were a few things that just didn't hit home for me and didn't leave me satisfied like I do so often with, you know, these episodes. And I've been very generous lately because I mean it. I mean, they've been great. But this one just fell a little flat. You know, I wanted more from Johnny and Alexis, mostly from Johnny. The whole Jocelyn coming to work for them and then like backing out. That was weird. And I think the reason it gets the 3.5 is because of Moira. You know, that was hilarious. So yeah, for me, it's just a 3.5 out of 5 medic alert bracelets.
Yeah. I'm giving it a 3 out of 5 shattered ova for all the same reasons and simply because I'm less generous than you in general, you know? I thought it was a fine episode.
Yeah.
Much like the Cafe Tropical is fine dining. Yeah, lots of weird things that felt like, okay, what's going on? But okay, I'll take it, you know? Mm-hmm. I laughed when I laughed, and that's kind of it. I think when we look back on season 6, when it's way in the rear view mirror, mm-hmm. this will be one of those episodes that you, like, skip, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, all right, whatever, yeah. We get it, you know?
There you have it.
That's going to do it for us, folks.
I think so.
As always, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on social media and engage with us, generally speaking. You can do our giveaways and things at Upshits Creek Pod on Instagram and Facebook or at Upshits Creek on Twitter.
Yeah, keep your eyes peeled, guys, for those giveaways because we're going to be having more of those. We have a lot of fun with them.
You can also send us an email at upshitscreekpod@gmail.com. We love reading the emails we get from you listeners. We read every single one. Oh, you can also subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/upshitscreek, where for a limited time, at our podcast producer level, you can get your hands on a piece of our merch.
Yes! What?
Merch, merch, merch. And we have a new patron. Shout out to Ashton.
What up, Ashton?
What up?
Thank you so much for subscribing and for being a loyal listener. And until next time.
We love you, shitheads. Kilvage.
Blessings.
This episode is brought to you by the generous donations of Emily and Lucina.
Well, hello, you.